All this week, we've been talking with reporters at the Center for Public Integrity about their series, Abandoned in America, which explores cities and towns across the country where poverty is inescapable. In St. Louis, Missouri, a major component of the crisis is affordable housing. There just isn't enough of it. And for many of the residents who do manage to get a subsidized place to live, conditions only add to the indignity of living and working in poverty.
There was mold inside the apartment. And so what they did was, instead of them getting rid of the mold, they just painted on top of everything. So after about a month or two, the stuff was coming through, you know, through the ceilings, you know, in my basement. I had gone through, oh my gosh, you have no idea what I went through.
That's January Harris, a mother and receptionist in St. Louis. January went from living in an apartment run by the St. Louis Housing Authority to a townhouse run by a private landlord, one that she paid for with help from a federal Section 8 voucher program. But even though she works full-time, January says the assistance she's getting is not enough.
Anybody that is on Section 8 or public housing or some type of housing assistance, they need it. Nobody is using that if they don't need it. They're low-income families. You know, again, they may be disabled. They may not be working. Some people work three part-time jobs. It's not enough. And it's, you know, again, it's not enough money.
There's a big discrepancy in St. Louis, an economy that President Trump likes to boast is stronger than ever, and a stagnant underclass of people trapped in poverty and challenged every month to keep a roof over their heads. That's what Letitia Beecham, a political reporter at the Center for Public Integrity, found in her reporting.
In St. Louis, especially in the city, about 26.7% of the people there are living below the federal poverty level. It's very difficult if you are very low or extremely low income to find affordable housing, and especially if you need assistance. The last time the city opened its housing choice voucher, commonly known as Section 8, was in 2014. So what you have is people waiting years hoping that they'll be able to receive a voucher for housing that will accommodate them and their children. There also are waiting lists for public housing in the city and the county as well.
Now, what are your options if you are waiting for a Section 8 voucher? What do you do in the meantime?
It's not really a pretty picture. People are either in unstable conditions, they're living with family members, some might even be facing homelessness, or they're living in subpar housing conditions as they wait for years to find housing.
I'm curious if you can help us understand how the Section 8 voucher program works. And I know it's a complicated program. There are many different kinds. But what does it generally do?
Yes. So with the Section 8 housing choice voucher system, it allows for a person to seek housing through a privately owned property. And the federal government will pay a subsidy to the Section 8 accepting landlord, and the tenant will pay the difference based on their income.
Tell us about January Harris.
January Harris lives out in Ferguson, Missouri. She lives in the county of St. Louis. Within a week of her moving into her townhome for her and her youngest daughter, Michael Brown was killed by a police officer. And that housing complex is just a two-minute drive away. And January has worked for most of her time as an adult. At least I went back to her work history back to 2000. And so she is technically checking off the personal responsibility boxes that President Trump and Ben Carson have said are ways to get out of the system. But at the end of the day, it's just not enough. She does make money. She does technically earn above the state's minimum wage of $7.85. But even with that, it's hard for her to make ends meet, because as soon as she got her job at a local nonprofit in St. Louis, before she got her first paycheck, her rent had increased.
So I get paid twice a month, and one of my checks goes completely to the rent. I can't buy food. I can't do anything. I get $0 worth of food stamps. I'm not receiving any child support. I work every day, so I can't go to food pantries. I mean, they make it impossible. I'm like, this is supposed to be a stepping stone. It's supposed to help families to transition to where they do not need state assistance. And there's no way to get off of this. I would literally probably have to just move.
She's essentially not able, even with her current employment, able to even get off of Section 8 housing right now, because money is just too tight.
Is the housing situation that you're describing, where there's limited housing available and long wait times for Section 8 vouchers, is that being exacerbated by gentrification at all?
I think when it comes to public housing and Section 8 housing, I'm not quite positive if it's being exacerbated by gentrification. My sense through my reporting is that the housing authorities are, one, they're highly underfunded, and that is not a partisan or something unique to this administration. And two, it can be difficult to find landlords who want to accept Section 8 housing choice voucher holders because of all the stigmas that could come with that, whether that's racism or whether that's your fear that they may not care for the property. And also for the landlords, there is a long process of paperwork and inspections that goes into whether or not you choose to be a Section 8 landlord. So I think it's a lot of bureaucracy at play, the reason why it's so hard to find affordable housing.
Well, let's also talk about what the current administration's stance is when it comes to public housing. I'm thinking specifically about Ben Carson, HUD secretary, who essentially undid a 2015 rule mm-hmm. that required communities that receive HUD funding make an effort to integrate their neighborhoods. Where does that stand?
In the 1950s and the 1960s, there was a wave of white flight to the suburbs. And what you have now is a county that is mostly white, and in the city, it's pretty much predominantly Black. So there is concern that there will be more division because of the undoing of this rule, because it's no longer mandated that you make an effort to try to integrate your communities.
The president has said that the war on poverty is largely over. Does that reconcile with what you saw in St. Louis?
Yeah, not at all, actually. When I was visiting various communities, especially along the north side, people just pointing around saying, hey, look at this. Look at all these empty houses. Look at all these abandoned homes. Nobody is coming here. And people are concerned about how they're going to make ends meet. And that economic prowess and growth that Trump sees for America doesn't really reconcile with what I saw in much of the city.
Letitia Beecham is a political reporter at the Center for Public Integrity. Letitia, thanks for your reporting.
Oh, thank you, Tanzina, for having me. I really appreciate it.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.